This is Mike Corey from ESPN, and you're listening to the Sports Objective Podcast, the unofficial podcast of the Pirates.
Welcome into the Sports Objective. We appreciate everyone tuning in whenever and however you're watching, whether it's on YouTube, Facebook, or Twitter. Or remember, our show can be found pretty much anywhere podcasts are found, including but not limited to Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, SoundCloud, and Spotify. It's hard to believe, but it is the opening week for D1 baseball. East Carolina is going to be hosting the Bryant Bulldogs at Clark LeClaire Stadium. Friday's game is slated for a 4 p.m. first pitch. Hopefully the weather will hold off. And Saturday, 2 p.m. first pitch. Sunday, a 1 p.m. start. And right now in our Pirate Preview, we're very excited to be joined by the third-year head coach of the Bryant Bulldogs, Ryan Klosterman. Coach, we appreciate your time this morning.
Bubba, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. Before we dive into this year's club, tell folks, how things are going there. In Rhode Island, just a tremendous program that Bryant's had over the years. East Carolina and Bryant have only met that one time back in the 2016 Charlottesville Regional, and that was a tremendous matchup. So just talk about, your career path, and I know your relationship with East Carolina head coach Cliff Godwin, of course, led to this series being scheduled.
Yeah, every year, everybody still undefeated come opening day. But, I think the end all be all goal for a lot of programs is to play as long as possible, get opportunity to go to a regional. And ECU has the ability to provide a regional type atmosphere. So, for us, we want to give our kids a chance and an opportunity to play in that atmosphere before the potential of that happening. Hopefully later on in the season, if it does. And, my relationship with Cliff Godwin and the coaching staff there dates back even past my days from UCF, back to when I was at Vanderbilt. We crossed paths a few times. So a lot of respect for the program, a ton of respect for what Cliff has done there, and really looking forward to a great weekend of baseball. Like you said, hopefully the rain holds off, and we can have a lot of fun, great atmosphere, and play a competitive weekend.
So your first season there at Bryant, obviously a very unorthodox 2020, to say the least. So just talk about that, going through the chaos that you've had to go through, and all the coaches around the nation have gone through here in the last couple of seasons. Fingers crossed that this year will be much more normal, but just talk about that, and also taking over a program that had so much success, and where you weren't walking into a situation that was broken. You were walking into a program that had won countless conference championships in a consecutive fashion.
Yeah, no, I getting an opportunity to be a head coach here at Bryant, a winning program, a program that had a ton of success prior to me getting here, and the groundwork that Steve Owens did prior, did an unbelievable job elevating this program and putting it on the map, and had a ton of success winning ball games in the Northeast and within our conference. So, currently we've got a 9-year streak of winning the regular season. Obviously, the goal is to win that conference tournament and get a chance to go to a regional. But it's this place is it's got a lot. There's a lot of reasons why personally I decided to leave UCF, and at the time that was a dream job for me. Family's from that area, and getting a chance to come up to Bryant, relocate the family towards in an area in which my wife grew up, and bring our kids into the Northeast where her parents have a chance to be around our kids was an awesome opportunity for me. But again, I wasn't going to just take any job. Everything had to be perfect. As far as the resources, as far as working with student athletes that value education, as well as playing at an extremely high level, playing for championships, my competitive drive is something that you know, I wanted to go to a place in which we would be able to compete for regionals, able to win championships, and ultimately move guys on and give them a chance to play professionally. And Bryant has done that. It's provided my family that opportunity. And I can tell you, it was one of the best decisions I ever made to come up here.
Before we dive into the club, if you would, you know, talk a little about you know, the challenge of being in the Northeast and the cold weather. We've already referenced that in the lead-in, just everything that that presents in terms of challenges. But this program has obviously had so much success. One of the programs in the Northeast down through the years, UConn, even though they're no longer in the American, Coach Penders and everything he's done there, just remarkable. So just talk about some of those challenges, how you embrace those challenges, you know, kind of combat things and just the success that you've had on the field and how you've seen that carry over to recruiting.
Yeah, I think ultimately it comes down to resources and people. You know, we have a beautiful indoor facility. We don't miss a beat. Rain, snow, doesn't matter. We have the ability to get our work in. This weekend we had three scrimmages, seven innings, and six innings, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, in our indoor facility. So our ability to continue to develop guys and incrementally get better every single day, regardless of what the weather throws at us, is you know, one of the reasons that Bryant has been successful in the Northeast. And you know, you talk a little bit about Coach Penders and UConn, and you know, I remember those battles in the AAC back in the day. Great program. Those guys just had an opportunity to get a new stadium as well, and they did an awesome job. So a lot of respect for Coach Penders. He's doing, you know, his guys are moving on and playing professionally. He's winning championships, and he's doing it the right way as well. So. But yeah, resources and then and people, you know, our coaching staff, our support staff from the athletic director to our biggest donors, ton of support for baseball, and ultimately they've opened up a lot of doors for our student athletes to be extremely successful.
Diving into this year's club, a year ago, 27-14-1, like you mentioned, won the Northeast Conference regular season title. So what returns, and, you know, if you would, let's just start with the infield and tell us about things positionally, take us around the horn.
You know, last year's team, we had a great team. Guys did a great job. You know, we had some a fourth round pick on Friday night. Tyler Madison had an opportunity to move on and signed with the Detroit Tigers. Liam McGill led the country in hitting last year, and he had an opportunity to move on and play professionally as well. So, you know, ultimately we had some holes to fill. We lost our entire weekend rotation, including our closer from last year's team. But we just opened up more opportunities for new guys. You know, I would say from a recruiting efforts, Coach Herville, Coach Pelletier did an unbelievable job this offseason filling holes. And, you know, I talk a lot about we might not have had the high-end recruit, the five-star recruit in this recruiting class, but we went with strength and numbers. Got a lot of talented pieces, a lot of guys that, you know, wanted a different opportunity and or fit a need for us. So, you know, our rotation will look different this year. On the infield, we picked up a transfer from Wake Forest and Carmine Petosa at first base, left-hand hitter. He'll hit in the middle of the order, a guy that controls the strike zone really well. Second base, preseason player of the year, Jake Gustin, is working through some injuries right now. He will probably be back more so towards conference play. So we have a couple guys working in the middle of the field at second base. Probably the guy that has really emerged this fall and this winter to step in is Stanley DeMartinez, right-hand hitting. Second base, third base guy who's done a really good job offensively for us. Shortstop is a guy, Logan Allen. He was injured last year, a guy that, you know, we missed dearly last season, but he's back. He has the ability to steal some bases for us, really good defender, accurate arm, and moving from short to third is Tommy DiTullio, who was our everyday shortstop last year. So, a couple new faces in that mix there. But guys that have been, working hard, waiting for their opportunity, coming back from some injuries, this, that, and the other. And I'm looking forward to letting those guys go out and play this weekend.
What about out in the outfield? What do you return and what do you have coming in that may make an immediate impact and see on some significant innings?
Guys in the outfield, first team all-conference guy last year, Derek Smith, returns. He's a guy that, stature-wise, he's not the biggest, but, offensively, he's a guy that can handle a fastball. And he'll be in either center or left this weekend. We'll see. Matt Woods has transitioned into the outfield for us as well. Leadoff hitter, left-hand hitter, did a really good job last year, setting the table, getting on base, creating a little havoc on the bases as well. So those two guys, as far as returners go, experience, really excited about having those guys back. Shane Kelly, fifth-year guy, came up with an injury during the preseason here. So we won't have him this weekend. He's going to be working his way back. And so we've got a couple options that we're going to work in the outfield as well in the corner spot. Damaris Rodriguez is one of those guys who, he's a catcher for us last year, and athletically he has the ability to do both. Him making a little bit of a transition out to the outfield. And young freshman James Myler has had a really, really good offseason, really good winter, he has the ability to go out there as well. So, and then lastly, one of the other guys is Alex Lane. Guy freshman year was a catcher for us during that COVID year, and had knee surgery last year, so he's missed the first 2 years. He'll have the ability to play first for us, DH for us as well. Another guy, physical right-hand hitter, who's had a really good winter, and looking forward to getting him back out on the field full-time.
A few minutes ago, you talked about what you lost from your weekend rotation. If you would, here just a few days from first pitch, and how are things shaking out, and who's standing out this spring?
Yeah, we've got Bubba. Let me hit my light real quick. It's on a sensor, and let me go hit my light real quick. Yes, on the rotation side, again, new faces, new guys, a couple guys who have really stepped up and emerged. Colin Lowe, a transfer from Richmond, fifth year guy, somebody who you can trust handing the ball off to. John McDonald was in our bullpen last year, had a great year for us last year out of the bullpen, one of our go-to guys, really, really emerged as well. And we've got a couple others who, we're ironing out the rotation this week as a staff, but a couple other guys, Jared Burrows, Logan Frazier, Austin Wainer, and a couple others who have really positioned themselves into, hopefully taking that next step for us and helping us, helping us get through 27 outs and get through those innings on the weekend.
Talk about your bullpen, the depth of your staff, and some of those the top bullpen arms that you'll definitely be using this weekend.
Yeah, this weekend we're gonna try to get everybody out there. Hoping for the weather allow us to get three games in one way or the other. You're gonna see everybody. Everybody on our roster that is healthy is gonna be on the bus coming down. And everybody's going to get their feet wet. For us, we need to make sure that we get as many guys to touch the ball as possible. You're not going to see us roll out guys that start that are going to go through seven innings. Pitch count wise, we're not there yet. So it's going to be an arsenal of arms, a couple matchups, a few guys from the right side, a few guys from the left side. So, anybody in particular, closer, this and that, we really haven't set those roles yet. I think the game's going to dictate who comes in late and the score as well.
And obviously, you referenced in the opening, just generally speaking, what Cliff Godwin has built here in Greenville. But, what can you tell us as far as what you know about this club specifically? And, obviously you got a guy like Carson Wisenhunt, a very talented lefty that pitched in a super regional a year ago. And many people have as a projected first rounder.
Yeah, no, what Cliff has done there, it's awesome. I tip my hat to him, and a guy that came back home, built it up, and I know he's got some unfinished business, and there's no doubt in my mind he's gonna get the program to where he wants to go, and a ton of respect for the way his players play the game, a ton of respect for the amount of energy and passion that the Pirates baseball program brings every single day. Had a lot of competitive battles, whether it be in Clearwater, whether it be in Greenville or down in Orlando. So, what Cliff has done, what Jeff has done, that coaching staff, their ability to develop talent, recruit talent at a high level, do it the right way. That's why he's been so successful. So we're looking forward to a competitive weekend. That regional type atmosphere, I want to make sure our guys get a chance to feel that, in the hopes that we get an opportunity to do that later on in the season as well.
In addition to the three-game series with the Pirates, you're also going to play three against Davidson. Rucker Taylor does an excellent job there, also a Vanderbilt guy. And then you have a three-game set with Old Dominion Monarchs, and ODU had a tremendous season a year ago.
Yeah, 100%. 100%. This year, from a COVID standpoint, a year and a half ago, as you're planning out the schedule, budget wise, things like that, a lot of things to consider. And, we were just willing to jump on a bus and whoever we can play within a certain amount of hours away from Smithfield, Rhode Island, we were going to do it. Old Dominion had a great run last year. Rucker Taylor and his program went to a super regional a couple years ago. So, relationship with Rucker, relationship with Cliff, a lot of that stuff ties into it. But guys that do it the right way, programs that are run the right way, and we're just looking forward to an opportunity to get outside, go play some baseball, and just work on our craft.
Really appreciate your time this morning, Coach, and safe travels to you and the Bulldogs as you travel down to Greenville, and best of luck throughout 2022.
Bubba, thank you for having me. Really appreciate it, and looking forward to a great weekend of baseball.
No doubt, and again, Pirate fans, three-game set with the Bryant Bulldogs, 4 p.m. on Friday, weather permitting. Very possible, you can maybe see a doubleheader on Saturday, but as of right now, a 2 p.m. start on Saturday and a 1 p.m. start on Sunday. Those games will all be available on or via ecupirates.com on the ESPN Plus platform, and then also on 94.3 The Game, the official station of the Pirates, as well as the Varsity apps through Learfield IMG College. For Ryan Klosterman, the Bryant head coach, I'm Bubba Rosenbaum, and you've been watching and listening to the Pirate Preview on the Sports Objective.
Thank you, Bubba.